Adam actually slept. Look at him. What, mate?
Jesus Christ!
I know.
I'm blooming knackered.
In this week, against the odds, AFC Wimbledon booked their place in League One with a super strike by midfield wonder Miles Hippolyte. Led by Super Johnny Jackson, the team of Goodman, Johnson, Lewis, Harbottle, Tilly, Nerfell, Smith, Reeves, Hippolyte, Brown and Stevens, with substitute support from Oggs, Kelly, Maycock and Sasu, beat Walsall at Wembley in front of 28,000 delirious Wimbledon fans to secure promotion back to League One. We are the same old Wombles, and we are going up. So we are going up.
No, no.
We are going up.
Might not be life or death, my friend, but to me, it's more important than that.
Hello, hello, dear listener. I'm Matt Cooper, and today I'm joined by my friend, Niall Cooper. Niall, how are you feeling?
Do you know what? I'm feeling a little bit happy.
And I'm joined by the man with the buttons. And the mysterious hair, Mr. Adam Proctor. Hello, Adam.
Hello. I'm still feeling rough.
And the man with the knowledge, a football guru and expert, Mr. Mark Lewis. To Mark, how are you feeling?
I'm shocked by the sight of Adam's hair without a hat on. But I'm actually, like, emotionally and physically absolutely spent,
yep.
Frankly. And I didn't even step on the field yesterday.
It's absolutely crazy. What a thing. Anyhow,
Matt, before you get on, I just want to make one point, and that is it's time to believe.
It's time to believe.
To believe in League One, chaps. That's what it's time to believe.
Oh, mate. It's time to believe in what we've achieved. It's been absolutely amazing. But before we go any further, I think we need to start with an official apology from Adam.
Okay, thanks for coming. I just want to put out a statement that what I said about getting to Wembley and losing is the best thing was never an official Same Old Wombles statement. It was my own words. I said it, you know, because that's what I thought at the time, and, you know, I apologise to everyone in the Same Old Wombles crew. It was something I now regret. It's something I now believe is not true. I want to retract that. It was never an official statement. Come on, you dots.
Okay. Thanks, Adam. I think we got that out of the way because I think all of us were like, I think there was a sense of the pressure being off. It didn't feel like it was vital for us to go to get promoted.
No, the pressure was so off. That's the thing that did me in. I was so enjoying it.
But
that's what did me in.
The pressure was off. But that said, you don't go to Wembley to lose. That's not a Wimbledon thing.
You don't go to Wimbledon to let a goal in, let alone lose.
Yeah, exactly. It's just our thing. And it was just immense, just absolutely amazing. And like all of you, I am completely and utterly exhausted. The whole thing. I mean, I've searched out all the clips, watched the videos back a trillion times. It's just been fantastic. But let's start at the beginning of the day, and I'm going to go for the longest, the shortest travel in. So, Adam, you obviously, I think, didn't you start journeying up on the Sunday or Saturday before the Monday to get there in time? What was your journey?
No, it was fine. We left at half 10 from Southampton, which was quite a nice journey with my dad, my brother, my daughter and her fiancé. It was actually quite a good journey. We didn't have any problems.
And you were there before anyone.
Yeah, we got there like
anyone involved.
We got to Wembley at 12:50 or whatever, pretty early, and went to the free non-box park areas, which was good. And yeah, got in the stadium probably just after one actually. So yeah, it was.
And what did you do? What did you do from 1 o'clock to 1 till 3?
Oh, I drank loads of beers.
I think it was cold.
What do you think I did, for goodness sake?
What does a beer cost in Wembley?
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Because I got everyone else to buy
No, me. Thankfully, I paid for everyone's train tickets, so people were buying me beers, which was good. But it was like £8 a beer or something ridiculous. It was stupid. So yeah.
And what was it? Where did you go? You didn't go to the box park before, but there's another area that was
Arena Park. We were in Arena Park, which was the free bit.
Yeah,
it wasn't very nice. It started to rain, so we decided we'd go in as soon as we could. So yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was cool. And Mark, what about you?
So we all like totally believe in generally in trying to empower our children. Right down to we asked them what do they want to do and how do they want to prepare. To which they said, can we go to Fat Boys?
Yep.
It's a football experience, let's go to Fat Boys. So we went back to Fat Boys, and obviously as our listener knows, Fat Boys is right outside King's Meadow, which obviously has lots of Chelsea blue on it nowadays. But we parked in what was the director's car park, because it's not the director's car park anymore, so we were allowed to park there. There was no steward, hello Lee, on the car park anymore. Parked there, went to Fat Boys. It cost more than 100% more than it used to cost for exactly the same dishes. Saw a few women friends in there. Saw the same guy who runs it in there. One of the older guys has passed away. Rest in peace. But that was a lovely start to the day. Train up via Wimbledon to Waterloo, seeing more Wombles on the way. A lot of people got off at Clapham and decided to get an overground train. We stayed on. Tube up, all very straightforward. And then the mad thing was I was meeting you guys, but I was also supposed to be meeting five individual non-Wimbledon fans who were coming to the game with me. My friend Dave, who's a Norwich fan. Simon, who helps us out with programmes, who's actually a Man U fan, but has been a loyal listener to the pod. Hello, Simon. And a loyal supporter as a volunteer for a couple of years. Then there was Jermaine, who's a Everton fan, who I used to work with, and Richard, who's a Chelsea fan. And he kept saying, stop telling people I'm a Chelsea fan. I said, mate, today we're all Wimbledon fans. Dom, who claims to be a Wimbledon fan, who came to the Port Vale game, bailed out on the morning saying he had work to do. Which is just lame, frankly.
Wow.
Lame on a bank holiday Monday.
Anyway, we all unbelievable. Met up in the same area that Adam was in after he left. And then we got lost, basically, because every steward told us to go somewhere different, even though we were going to exactly the same place that you guys were going in terms of locations. We went upstairs, we went downstairs, we went around in and out of his lady's garden, so it appeared. And eventually we ended up going in the same entrance as the Warsaw fans, which made no sense at all. But anyway, we were in there, and great seats, if I say so myself. Well, good investment there. And we were at the back of the row. Niall and Matt were at the front of the same block. Our friend Martin was at the front of that block as well with his daughter, who's quite young, so it made sense for her to be further forward. And apart from a steward questioning me, asking whether my plastic water bottle was plastic, it was all good.
Well, that's good. I mean, only one bad little spirit. But it's the fact about that, Mark, is A, you know, you've got some guy who's bailed out the last minute on bank. I mean, that's a lame excuse. And B, you've done the call out thing again, like the radio. I love the fact that you've managed to call out. I mean, I don't know how many names there were in there. I lost count, to be honest with you, but there was quite a few. So you've managed to get virtually all your call outs done
now, because I told them to. So yeah.
Basically,
a shout out.
Basically, that's the way it works, is it?
Blooming shout, honestly, shout out every blooming match.
With a call out. Yeah, shout out. Anyhow.
I've increased my listenership by about 500%. What are you talking about?
So many things, Mark. So, Niall, our trip, because we were both coming in.
Matt, let me do our trip.
Okay.
So, we got on the... I met Matt at my brother's house, where we met Tabitha Cooper, but Tracy Cooper wasn't going. Jenny Cooper stayed behind along with our cat Sugar. We got to Auberge on a train with loads of other Wimbledon fans, I think probably on there. When we got to Auberge, we ran into Joe Drake.
I'm then blaming you, Lewis. This is your fault.
And
my lot came to the game. This lot
did. And Jack O'Donnell. Then there was Kevin Ryan. And when we got to the ground, we saw loads of other Wimbledon fans.
Yeah.
Mark, do you get the point?
Those lot did come.
We went to Auberge, and Auberge is the restaurant that in Waterloo that we used to go when we used to go to King's Meadow, and So it was really cool just to have that kind of reminiscence of going back to the old venue where we were. Fantastic duck confit and Dauphinoise potatoes, which is probably quite different to what the kind of food you have, Mark. So I had like gourmet, gorgeous food, sautéed spinach, red wine jus, Dauphinoise potatoes, duck confit.
I guess that was quite a lot of red wine, actually.
What was your breakfast?
I had early riser, which is basically egg and chips, sausage on the side, and a few rations of bacon.
Nice.
Very similar to what I had with my Dauphinoise potatoes.
Anyhow, it was quite funny because I brought Tabs came along and she brought her mate from her football team, and her dad was there. And when we were in Auberge, it's basically like this restaurant wine bar thing, going, this isn't what I expect from football fans. it was all very sit down, civilized. Mind you, I did have a bottle of red, which I'm not very good at recovering. So it took me a long time to get over that. But it was gorgeous. So then we obviously jumped on the tube up to Wembley in the purple zone area, and you know, in that wonderful Wembley level, which was glorious. And it made me think, in hindsight, it'd probably be good to get to that Wembley bit earlier in the day, because they seem to be doing some decent food. There were lots of bars there showing like matches from our run up. There was loads of that going on, which was fantastic to see. I loved watching all the little bits and bobs that
merchandise on Wembley Way.
Oh, well, I didn't manage to see much of that, apart from I did obviously notice a half and half scarf. I can't think of a worse half and half scarf. I mean, why would you...
How can you not have a half? Like, no half and half scarves are any good.
I know, it was... Okay, but I mean, I just think it is absolutely ridiculous, the half and half. But I saw people wearing half and half scarves.
No, I know.
Three things about half and half scarves. Number one, they're just wrong, full stop.
Correct.
Yes, they are.
Number two, anyone notice the way they spell Warsaw?
No.
No.
W-A-L-L-S-A-L.
Yeah. But I'm hearing, this is what I've heard from some, I was hearing this the other day, that someone was saying that they now do this deliberately. That it's a deliberate marketing ploy. So in years to come, people will go, they're unique. So they only did... I don't know, 500 of these particular scarves that are all spelt slightly wrong. So now they become like collector's items.
But the third totally wrong bit was Warsaw's colours are what? Red and black, right? Yeah. And our colours are?
Yellow and blue.
Yellow and blue.
And the half and a half scarves were? Blue and white.
Yes.
Chelsea for...
There was a lot of blue and white flags. I was looking around at lots of blue and white flags. I was going, what's going on? Why are there so many blue and white flags? I thought it was generally from a previous...
Someone just didn't even Google what are Wimbledon's colours or something ridiculous.
No.
A quick call and say, what clothes do you wear?
And we got
7 days a week.
Because when we got there, I was like, Will, okay. I said to Will, Evie's fiance, I said, right, okay, first things first, you can't buy half and half scarf. That is against the law. And then we got in and he's like, I want to get a scarf. And they were, yeah, like you said, they were all blue and white. It's like, what the heck? That is not the colours. So, yeah.
Maybe it's a saving. By only having like blue and white, maybe.
They were like 40 quid each or something. Anyhow.
Yeah.
I mean, like, also to be honest, we did wear blue and white in 1963.
Yeah, but this is 62 years later now. So.
I would give you, but I'm just saying that, you know, if I'm trying to give them any kind of get out, that's the only one I can think of.
I'm impressed with the fact that I've got enough brain power to work out the 63 plus 62. Because
you've done well. You've done well there, Mark.
I was impressed with that.
That's very good. Excellent. Well, I'm pleased in that little segment there. We managed to get some more names in. Even you did, Adam. Fantastic. Good work. We've gone through that. But so anyhow... It comes up. What was really exciting is you get into it. We got into our seats. So I did this thing beforehand where I'm booking the tickets, and I've got really wound up by it. So Niall's booked in block 140, and I've booked in 141. 240, and I booked in 241. And I'm like, oh fuck, we got everyone's together. I've got to put the tickets over to other people and make sure everyone's got the right tickets. It was really stressful. So I go up in block 240. We walk up the stairs, turn left to our seats. The people who got the tickets for block 241 walk up the stairs, and they turn right. We're sitting next to each other. all of this stress, and we were sitting bang next to each other. So that I didn't have to do anything with tickets. I wouldn't have to have done anything if I'd have just used my brain a little bit. But instead, I just had all this stress of the tickets. But very nice sitting down, padded seats. Oh, it was worth paying that extra £6 for, I can tell you. It was lovely. And it was just where we were, just to be able to see that below us, that beautiful swarm of yellow and blue. And, you know, the balloons were going off in the air. And there was this beautiful moment where you got all these yellow and blue balloons floating up through Wembley. Just looked magnificent.
So Wembley let us take balloons in then, unlike
That's right. There were no vindictive stewards going around bursting balloons. And then behind us, and obviously you look around and we've got the seats up there and stuff like that. It just looked incredible. 28,000 of us. I mean, it was just nuts. And
nearly 29. It's 28 and quite a lot of change.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing what I liked is Matt posted a video on Facebook or whatever, and it's the video when you pan around and it is that level of yellow and blue, because it's, you know, it was to the left of us, all three tiers. You know, it was like really quite special. But I was speaking about it earlier on with Luke Carlton Kelly. She called me up, and you know, we were having a chat, and I felt the atmosphere in the first half was quite quiet and really nervous. And second half, obviously, it took off, but the first half it was quite quiet. And she was down on the lower level next to the standing zone. We were directly above the standing zone. And she said the noise was really intense down there. So I don't know, Wembley must have some weird atmosphere. So it felt quiet where we were.
Yeah, I'd say the interesting thing was my wife and my daughter went in first, and then they came out, and I met you guys about sort of 10-2, quarter two.
Yeah.
And they said the reason they'd come out pre-game is because it was too noisy, and they're not great with big noises and big crowds. And I actually, she then said to me this afternoon that she thought the Walsall were really loud. And I'm thinking, well, they're just really loud pre-match. Because obviously it's a long way away. They were the other end.
I
didn't hear them, really, apart from around the time when Harbottle... We'll do the game as we go along. But when Harbottle cleared it off the line, that was the only time I really was aware that 18,000, which is an amazing number. Fair play to Walsall.
Yeah, totally.
But it's a long way to come. I didn't hear them.
No, I didn't hear them at all. And where we were, block 130, it was going on for the whole game. The noise was full on, and I didn't hear Walsall. I was kind of a bit blinded by the whole thing anyway. But
you were blinded by the whole thing, Adam, drunk. Blinded by the amount of alcohol.
Well, a bit of both, probably. You know, I still can't.
But did that help with the nerves?
Yeah, it did. I can't, you know, but I wasn't that nervous. That's the thing. I still can't get over it. Because I didn't go into the game thinking we would do anything. You know, that was the thing for me. I thought, this is great to be in the final. I just can't believe it. I still can't believe it. It's just mad.
Well, you'll believe it when we're 3-0 down to Burn Albion, the opening game next season, mate.
But it's,
and then we remember we are in League One after all. We're playing the other worst team in League One, and we're still losing.
Yeah, true.
I think it's...
Oh, that's not...
I just thought the whole thing was... I mean, there is some weirdness with acoustics, because there was a moment where I heard a roar from the Walsall fans. I was quite taken aback by it. But I think there must be some way that the acoustics boom towards the opposition fans. So so seeing some of the clips afterwards, you know, when we score, the clips taken from the Walsall end, the roar is amazing. The view of us is amazing. I mean, it was just stunning. Just...
That view to me was a really sort of first telling image of the day, because a lot of people were being quite sensible actually pre-match and downplaying some of the Billy big bollocks people who were going, look at us, we've got 28,000, you've only got 18 or whatever the numbers were.
Yeah.
Because actually, that's right, it doesn't matter. Is it Plymouth took 32, I think, and we took 22 last time. This apparently was the biggest attendance for a League Two playoff final since our game against Plymouth in 2016.
Yeah, and that weekend we just had, the attendances over the playoffs has been phenomenal.
I mean, what I'm slightly confused about? we said we'd sold 28, did we say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Walsall said they sold 18.
Yep.
Now, I don't know about you, but 28 and 18 does not equal 50.
And it was over 50.
4,000 freebies.
4,000 freebies to who?
There will be that. Actually, we were 28, 9. They were 18. And there were loads of free. You get loads of press passes. You get all the kind of hangers on, all that sort of stuff in the middle.
And that all gets added.
That whole middle section would have been, that's the extra four.
Yeah, there's the king. There's a queen. There's someone else.
No, the queen wasn't there. There was no royal.
The next 4,000 is there's the EFL staff.
I think in an arena like Wembley, when you've got someone like either Nogan Deer or Sasu or a number of Walsall's younger players as well, and there were two of the most promising England younger goalkeepers out there, Simpkin of Walsall, who's a Stoke keeper, and obviously Owen Goodman, who have both been called into the training squad for the under 21 European Championships, which is fantastic for both of them. And only one of them, I guess, is going to go because they've pulled four into a bigger training squad. But they, you know, that kind of player wouldn't have ever played at Wembley before. No. So surely looking up and seeing this sea of yellow and blue and a relative sea, but also some gaping gaps, with the greatest respect to Walsall. And we obviously went Ryan on the top tier as well. That's got to give you a psychological boost as a player, surely.
Yeah, you'd have thought. I mean, it was amazing. Just the whole atmosphere, the look was just beautiful. And you're right. It must have. I mean, I think we did in the run up to the game. We did this visit in Wembley, which I know people have talked about in the past, was a good thing to get that out of the way. But my understanding was Walsall did that as well. I understand, but I think that certainly helps. So no one's overawed with Wembley as a venue. But if you're coming out there and suddenly you look to your right as you come out of the tunnel and you can see this mass of yellow and blue, that has to give you that boost. And it was, yeah, fantastic. Anyhow, onto the kind of match. No surprises in the team lineups. We knew that Bugle was injured. We knew that Hutchison, despite him thinking he was going to be able to do it, we knew he wasn't going to be on the pitch. So none of the lineup was a surprise particularly. And fantastic. And I would argue that at the moment, we've got like the best back three. Like nothing was getting through. And yes, it was a really, really scrappy game. There was no real clear-cut chances at all. I can't think... of Goodman making a save.
25 minutes.
I'm going to say one other thing on this, Matt, because I don't think it's necessary. They are a brilliant back three, but I think the addition of Reece in front of that makes a massive difference. When you watch how we play, the amount of times that Reece will drop back into that back three because one of the others has pushed forward, he makes a massive difference. Look, we've just won our last four games 1-0, and Reece was suspended for the three before. Comes back into the team. I think that makes a massive difference. Also, Nerfield has put in a massive shift defensively.
Yep. And
Nerfield.
And also, I think the other thing to say is that when people drop out, you know, we've got Oggs. Who's as good as any, which is brilliant. It's a fantastic. So, I mean, like to have that three at the moment, and God, I really hope we have that three next season, but then also to have... Oggs to come in as well. I just think he's absolutely fantastic. So great. Yeah. I mean, it was just brilliant. And so I can't think, looking back, did Goodman have to make a save in the whole match?
Second half, he had to make a save from Manchi, the sub centre forward.
Yeah, good second half.
So oh, yeah. Yeah.
But that's it.
Who came through and it was like a tame effort.
Notts County had to make one.
Yeah.
Notts County second game.
Yeah. And then yet again, Harbottle was there to clear off the line when it did go through.
But then actually, if you looked at Nerfield's shot, I mean, that was an absolutely amazing save. When Nerfield's got broke through, we probably kind of forgot about it at the time. But if you looked at it going back, the guy has to throw his hand out to the right because he's going the other way to pull off a really good save on the near post when Nerfield's clean through. That is actually a really brilliant save. You know, yeah. Brown's pulled Brown. And actually, even Brown's long distance one, when you look at how...
Oh, yeah.
That was actually... you know, a pretty good save too. So that, you know, we had the better chances.
We had all the chances. For goodness sake.
What was interesting, though, watching it with some mutuals, two friends of mine I mentioned before were sitting in front of us, directly in front of us. And Dave said to me, my Dave said, where after about half an hour, so where are the goals coming from, Mark? And I thought, well, you know what? At this point, we'd created little. We'd had the ball, but you were basically two teams squaring up against each other, neither of whom liked the ball, as we said beforehand, which is why we've done so well against Notts County, because they came at us, and why we've picked off the likes of franchise because they come at us. Walsall didn't come at us. They tried coming at us and couldn't even throw the ball onto the pitch. True, though. Harsh but fair.
Yeah.
That's going to become a meme, surely. But with us actually having to try and dictate things, it took a while to settle down. And given that we obviously didn't have anyone holding the ball up, I think it's been mentioned before and it's easy to say because A, he scored the goal, and B, he's on the calendar for May celebrating the goal he scored against franchise. But actually, we really clearly have missed having someone like Miles Hippolyte with his balance, with his attacking threat, with his ability just to be a nuisance in midfield throughout the whole season. He's played something like 27, 28 games, but missed the big chunk in the middle. And he came back and obviously was able to supplement Hutchinson with the issues that he sadly had with the heart attack. And in the end, he's the one that had the pop. You know, he had a little effort of a goal. That was the first effort at goal, towards goal, but well wide of goal. And then obviously a few minutes later, after a bit of ping pong in the box, and we had a great view for this one from block 240 and 241. Once he hit that, you could see it was going in the corner. No one was getting there.
It was a beautiful, beautiful moment. I mean, and you're right. I think we've missed him. We have totally missed him. And he came back in. And I remember thinking when he first started coming back in, we were saying on the podcast, he looked a bit off the pace. But he's kind of like, through the last few games, he's kind of done his pre-season. And he's got to the level we need him to be at the time we need him to be at, that level. But
so that's what... if you're looking in the midfield, Hippolyte, Reeves and Smith, that's good. That feels like a pretty good... We are robust, right? We're going to be difficult to score against. And that's really quite... That's promising. We all know where our issues are, but, like, you know, let's remember how great it was to be there and hearing all those songs. And the fact that every now and again I go... and all that sort of stuff. Can't help it.
But I mean, I think that was, come on, that was an amazing goal. And you've got to think, the last couple of goals that we've scored have been to worldies almost. Absolutely phenomenal goals. The Nuffield goal against Notts County and Miles Hippolyte. I mean, like, you know, it's silly that the club did their goal of the season awards so early, because, you know, they missed out two great goals, and that Hippolyte goal was just when it hit the back of the net, everyone going crazy. It was so beautiful, and because it was right towards the end of the first half, it just took everything out of the game. It was so fantastic. And then obviously going into half time, we're all buzzing, and the second half it played out as they wanted. I mean, I think most people would have said 1-0 if it was going to be a result, 1-0. I mean, I think had we have gone behind that, it would have been interesting to see what we'd have done at that situation. But, you know, it's so difficult to break us down when we go one up, because we defend
well
from the front.
Also, especially when Walsall had a plan A, just a plan A, nothing else.
Yep.
If Jamil and Matt wasn't going to get the ball, which, let's face it, with short shorts sticking to him closer than glue, there's no way he was, then they had two attacking number 10s who were supposed to feed off him. But you can't feed off no possession.
Yep. Yeah. And I thought that was really weird. Certainly the first half, it felt to me, we were talking about there were two teams who didn't want the ball. I felt that they wanted the ball less than we did. It felt like there was we had a lot of possession in the first half, a lot of being able to pass the ball around, a lot of, you know, really controlled part of it. Just amazing. I thought it was absolutely, we were fantastic. Really knew how to keep the ball. And at this point, Mark, I'm wondering, my friend. Have you got any decent stats for us? What can you pull out of the air for us? Because you were sharing some stuff, and it just looked like there were some interesting little stats coming out.
There are 11 teams that have never conceded in the EFL playoffs over the years, and we're actually now one of those. Southend, Watford, Burnley, Millwall, Stevenage, Sheffield United, Crystal Palace, Fleetwood, Preston, Charlton this season, and AFC Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm.
How many goals has Hippolyte scored this season?
Three,
only three, and yesterday's was the third one.
Yep.
Best goal against franchise.
Best, brilliant goal.
One of the goals at Port Vale when we and he hit the bar last minute as well.
God, yeah.
Oh, God, I remember.
Yeah, that was one of our. That was. We'll have to do our season review at some point. I think that was that for me was that was a difficult game.
And yesterday, yeah, we can do the season review next week because a lot of us aren't really going to believe how it all turned out. And the other one, which is one of those lovely things from Opta Joe. Wimbledon restricted Walsall to 5 shots in the whole playoff final. And we love that Adam likes his XGs. Walsall's XG in the final was 0.34, their lowest in a league or playoff match all season. Which is down to Mr. Short Shorts and, needless to say, Johnson and Harbottle. And Harbottle's clearance off the line, which someone else is going to have to comment on because I didn't see it.
Oh, it was...
I heard the noise afterwards.
I saw it. Look. Sorry, Niall, you carry on, mate.
We turned around and I had to look at the big screen because we didn't realise how close it was until we looked at the screen behind us and realised how very, very close it was. But he's in the right place at the right time to do that, and that's the kind of mentality I think we've got of that bit, because it's the same thing that Nuffield did. Clearly somewhere in training it is right when they've got those chances, you make sure you're there running back just in case. That is training that's done that.
Yeah I mean, I think I listen, Goodman, right? Amazing. What is it, 25 clean sweeps? Fantastic. The best. But I think he made a mistake that led to that chance.
Yes, he did. He went to get a near post cross.
Yeah.
Missed it completely. Matt flicked it past him.
Yep. Yeah. So that he did make an error. His one and only. It's all right. You're allowed it because Harbottle was there to clear off the line. I mean, it was a slow spinning ball. If you see the clips,
it was a slow spinning ball. That's true.
Yeah, but Harbottle got back and belted off the line, and that was as close as they got, really. Apart from
that
one shot,
close like that.
It was, yeah, it was close.
Has anyone seen the last minute or so? A clip of the last minute.
Yeah, so
the last 6 minutes would have been stressful. So
the last minute itself is quite interesting because watching it, knowing they don't score, is actually fine because you're quite relaxed. But what you can see is their goalkeeper, Simkin, goes up for the free kick they get because I think it was Josh Kelly cleaned someone out on the halfway line. And they put 3 men on the back post. If any of those players heads the ball across, Simkin's standing on to the left of the penalty spot in about 5 acres of space, utterly unmarked. If they get the header back across the goal, the guy can blow the ball in.
Yeah,
they don't get the header back across the goal, and the referee blows final whistle.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were never going to get the ball across the goal because Johnson was there.
Absolutely.
I mean, and he again, he's one of his people that's come into his own. And I just want to briefly talk on Johnson and go because looking at the people who are out of contract, I think in my mind I'm kind of resigned to losing Nuffield and Tilly. I'm kind of resigned to losing that, to know that Johnson's out of contract, I think is a big blow. And I noticed today that already we've been linked with someone who's been released from Bradford, Callum someone.
Johnson.
And so he plays, it feels like he plays naturally in where Ryan Johnson's position is. So I'm really hoping we can keep hold of Ryan Johnson, because I just think he's growing into it. He's just become a natural lead, and those three together are brilliant.
There are two things to reflect on here. Number one, the interview that Craig Cope did, which I believe was before the Notts County first game, mm-hmm. so leading into the playoffs in general, where he was talking about already having a transfer list.
Yep.
And it wasn't a League One list and a League Two list. It was a one list. And if you're in League One, then you're more than likely to get and have the resource to be able to afford the players towards the top of the list, as opposed to choice three or choice four. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, look back at what happened with some of the players and some of the decisions. And he admitted himself, Ardley's admitted that letting Bayo go was a mistake of his.
Yeah.
We don't know, obviously, the decisions will be made or have been made and will be communicated in the next couple of days. By the end of the week, you'd imagine the list will be out in terms of who's being released and who's not being released, or who's being offered new contracts and who's not being offered new contracts. And or maybe I suspect the likes of Tilly and Nerfield will be offered new contracts and their agent may well have negotiated them something somewhere else.
Yeah.
But what, again, lots of astute posts in the last 24 hours on social media, you know, the grass is not always greener.
No.
Nerfield and Tilly are right now. Tilly came to us as a very unheralded player, having played only at Crawley and nowhere else. Right now, he's reinvented himself completely from being a right winger who scored 10, 12 goals last year to a left wing back, when most of us thought he's not going to get in the team, he's not going to get in the squad, he'll end up being shipped out on loan or sold. Nerfield, again, was a promising and very quick right winger whose end product wasn't brilliant. He was switched to being wing back to counter-attack the franchise last season, and he's gone from strength to strength to strength and deservedly picked up all the awards. So we obviously have to tap up his mum to be able to make sure that she can tap him up to ensure that he can not leave, frankly.
Yeah.
Because right now he is obviously flavour of the month and deserves to do so, but we can't obviously break the bank because we need... We will go through it next week in terms of what gaps are in the squad. But you can clearly see we've got a solid midfield. We've got an excellent rock solid defence, but we need strengthening up front.
Yeah. I mean, I think we know that. That's Stevens, the thing.
It's just Stevens hasn't scored for 10 games and one goal in 18. Yeah. Right. So there's a problem there. I'm going to make one slightly controversial comment about the players that are out of contract. I'm not sure whether Tilly is League One quality.
Oh, he said it. He's put it out there. I think the thing is, you look at the squad and you go, it's a great squad. How it stands up against League One, who knows? But I think we've missed a really important step in our
deliberations.
Yeah, that's right. In our look back on yesterday's a magnificent game, which is the final whistle. And that was just the most beautiful, beautiful moment. I mean, I don't know how long I stayed around afterwards, but it felt like there was another half. You know, there was like 45 minutes or so of first them, you know, when the final whistle goes, that sheer beautiful joy. There's a wonderful picture, I think, of is it Nerfell and Oggs just running, and then there's Tilly and Brown taking their tops off and just sprinting towards the fans. It was just glorious. And then the fist pumps to the supporters was amazing. All of that was just so
I've never seen Jackson that animated.
Yeah. So beautiful.
I've got to say, massive thing for me was the last time we were at Wembley for the Plymouth game, as you all know, I'd come back from a holiday, got the Eurostar, got there in the morning. I'd left my car in Paris, having driven from the Loire Valley, went to Wembley.
Chinese had to dash back. Yeah.
Had to dash back on the Eurostar. No, what it meant was that I couldn't hang around, so I wasn't able to soak up winning the game. So yesterday. We were there, like Matt was there. We were there for like 40, 45 minutes until the players had finally left the pitch, and just soaking up, seeing the sea of yellow and blue, seeing us jumping up and down, soaking that in. That for me meant loads and loads and loads. It does mean we missed getting to the box park, which I'd love to have done on retrospect. But it was for me soaking up Wembley and just going like there are 30,000 of us here. We're all jumping up and down. The players going mental. We have just got promoted. And I wasn't able to do that last time. So it felt that for me was really special. So when Matt talks about the final whistle, it's like, wow.
Yeah,
no, I mean, it was glorious. It was mega. Yeah. I was gonna say, like, the I couldn't get in Box Park because it was sold out, so we tried to get in there after the game. But you know, actually,
they told us it was closed,
yeah, they said it was closed,
which it was not.
No,
closed.
That's true.
It was, I think it was closed to any more fans, but it, I mean, in reach capacity, basically.
That's fair enough, but that's not what it
no, that's true. That's yeah. true. It was a little bit stressful trying to get somewhere, but I have to say, I am massively so happy for JJ. This is like a massive thing for him. He's got loads of stick over the season. I think he's been a fantastic manager. And I'm so...
Oh, yeah, Jackson.
Yeah, exactly. I am so pleased for what he did. And, yeah, that blew my mind. I was just so pleased for JJ.
The other thing that we saw on the big screen as they were going up, getting the medals... His wife was up there. And I've met his wife a couple of times when I was on boarding duty, away games, and she's brought their son. I think he's about 10 or 11 or so. I think we obviously are very, very lucky in that we have very understanding other halves, and some of our kids and some of our other halves, whatever, get football. I think mine does perhaps more than anyone else's. They all... The respective Mr. Cooper, Mrs. Cooper, Mrs. Cooper, yeah. Mrs. Proctor, and Mrs. Lewis all get football and get how understanding they have the understanding of how important it is for us. What we are never close to understanding, obviously, not being related to or married to or partner or whatever of a professional footballer or manager, is the level of stress that's there. Apparently, Jackson missed her 40th. Birthday party.
Yes, yeah.
Clashed with one of the legs of the Notts County game. And I've chatted to him and, chatted to her about, like, when we've lost games or drawn games, and she just said something like, well, he's going to be, you know, fed up tonight. And obviously you realise that we take it home and we get fed up, but if it's your job and it's the football club, you know, the family, the other halves and the whole household is literally living that particular issue. And you never know, obviously he's had a good season, so he's done well, and yes, there's a level of relative security, and relatively speaking, compared to, you know, the man and the woman in the street, they are well paid as football coaches and managers, but it's a precarious position. You know, he could be offered the job at Preston or the job at Norwich or somewhere upwardly mobile, paying him a lot more money. But I'm sure they're very happily settled in the southeast of London because he was a player and coach, obviously, at Charlton. So to see that pure joy, that was one of my highlights, actually, from the whole day.
Yeah, it was amazing to see that. And, I mean, listen, over the course of the last three seasons, we've all given him stick at one point. I mean, I think that first season was really tough for him. But it just proves some of the people running our club, we're not reactive. We say, okay, things are going to take time to get to this place. Things are going to take time. And it's taken 3 years. But I believe that this was kind of like a four-year project to get into League One. So, you know, in that sense, he's done brilliantly. And, you know, the first part of the season was phenomenal. And the last four games, you can't fault any of that. It's been absolutely brilliant.
Brilliant game.
We haven't won four games in a row, you know, all season until...
Yeah.
What are we doing in League One? What exactly are we doing in League One? Oh, my word. It's ridiculous.
Well, let's play the apology.
Tactical genius.
Play the apology again.
If you look at teams in League One, it's going to, you know, there are, as you'd expect, no easy games. And I think we're going to look at a hell of a lot of sellout games. You know, I look at that list and there is maybe one or two teams that won't mean that Plough Lane's full.
We're going to be sold out all the time.
Burn Albion's the one, Mark. Burn Albion's the one.
And that's going to be on a Tuesday night. We know that. It always is. But it's gonna. But yeah, listen, the final whistle and that was just beautiful. And hanging around for all that time and seeing the wild celebrations, them coming over and celebrating with us, the punching in the air, the holding up the trophy. I love the fact you get a trophy. It was just so beautiful. And I don't know why on earth they've got such a ridiculous replica trophy, huge replica thing that sort of like was wheeled around the pitch, which is quite weird. But it was just, and all the people, I mean, for me personally, I think it was great because great being with my brother, and it was great being with my daughter as well, who and because we hung around for a lot, you know, the 45 minutes of all the celebration stuff like that, however long it was, and I was worried, you know, she was getting bored, but she was so happy, she was so smiley. It was just like, and I was just really pleased to share that with her. I mean, we didn't, unfortunately, because we didn't get into the box park, and then, you know, unfortunately, we weren't going back to Southwest London, where I'm sure the Alex and other places would have been beautifully buzzy. But we couldn't get in the box park. And I think you genuinely had to have left at the final whistle and go straight to the box park to be able to get in there.
Or be part of the club entourage.
Yeah, that's right, Alex, folks.
Not that we're going to name and shame anyone who happened to be inside.
But I think what's beautiful is that what is wonderful is that they put a call out to all of the DTB members to say who wants to be in the director's box area, that posh area. And none of them wanted to. They all wanted to be with the fans and with
because they're
their
fans.
Family.
They want to be with their friends.
Exactly, which was just beautiful. So in actual fact, I think Alex would have preferred to have been, but he... Well, I don't know. Looking back on it, I think he had an absolute blast. He was in the box park and in the, you know, the rest of the box area. I'm sure he had a great time. But yeah, it was just beautiful. And like here we are, we're just over 24 hours or so later, and it's still sinking in. I am completely like you all drained and like, but fucking on, lads, we won at Wembley.
Oh, it is a quick pop quiz. Pop quiz for you. What are the grounds, the five grounds in League One with the lowest capacity?
Accrington Stanley.
League One. Accrington Stanley ain't in League One. We ain't playing them next year.
League One.
League One is so. Well,
Luton's ground is still quite small because even though they've upgraded it,
you know, Luton is 12,056.
Lincoln,
10,699. So you know you're not close yet.
Oh no,
under 10,000, all of them.
Oh really? Well, we're one of them.
We are one of them, yes, but we're not the lowest.
Okay, so we've got Burton, surely.
Burton is the lowest, 6,912.
Okay. Who went up with us? No, they're all higher, aren't they?
Who?
Northampton.
Northampton Town, 8,200.
Oh, nice.
They've got five. What's Orient?
Now, this is the interesting one. Who has a larger capacity, AFC Wimbledon or Leighton Orient?
Surely us.
One for Orient. You have the casting vote, Matt.
Oh, no, mate. I think it's going to be Orient. We've got a slightly bigger crowd.
So this is according to Wikipedia, and we know that these stats are wrong, right?
Yeah.
AFC Wimbledon, according to Wikipedia, 9,215, and we know that, you know, is spurious. Yeah. Leighton Orient, 9,271.
What?
Oh. So I was right.
So yes, so that's Northampton Town, Burton, Orient, and Wimbledon, and the fifth one in that group under 10,000. Oh, there's two actually. Sorry,
give us the starting letter.
So one is Southern, and the other one is
Exeter,
East Midlands.
Exeter.
Yeah, Exeter 8,720.
Oh, I'm doing well at this. East Midlands.
We're higher than Exeter.
East Midlands. Birmingham. No, lower.
No, that's not East Midlands. Okay, Nottingham, to be precise.
Mansfield.
9,186.
Good work.
And the last one, which you haven't got, is Stevenage, 7,800.
Blimey. Yeah, that's not somewhere. That's not somewhere you want to go, though. So it's fine.
So you know, like
it's Stevenage.
Stevenage. We've got to do. You know, it's going to be amazing. I mean, again, I think we're going to be built on defence. So that's going
to
be
interesting. What we have to defend the whole season. That's what we're going to be doing.
That's going to be it. So we're going to have to
get that. The teams that Mike just listed there are probably the ones that we've got to try and think about finishing above.
Absolutely.
So Stevenage, Exeter, Burton, you know, those are the teams that we've got to be thinking.
Yeah, we got so we're going to need to get strikers in. I mean, that we know that that's going to be our thing, but we'll go into all this. But it's the whole thing was absolutely incredible. It was great running into people. I mean, I think Mark has listed all of the people, and
apart from Matt Everard,
we ran into Matt Everard again. He's who was loving it. It was just beautiful. It's just wonderful to see so many people there. And yes, there were a lot of friends of friends who were coming along as well. But I think through that, you make converts, whether Wimbledon becomes their team, their number one team, or like a second team that they watch out for. I mean, you know, on socials, all you'll see at the moment is people going, I've got a soft spot for Wimbledon, congratulations.
I got a number of messages from people that have helped out with program articles. I got one from a Wrexham fan from last season, one from a Grimsby fan who came on the pod at the beginning of last season, actually.
Mm-hmm.
All just wishing us well. And the number of ex-players, that's amazing, you know.
Yep.
Some name checks again. Darren Holloway, Kevin Gage. Jack Curry. There's a few more that...
Well, Akin Fenwa was just like,
Akin
you
Fenwa,
know,
obviously.
Completely bigging us up. That was fantastic. It was quite interesting. So I'm looking at all the clips. And so obviously it was on Sky, but it was also on CBS, which I'm guessing was for the States. And Rio Coca was doing their thing. They were interviewing Ollie Palmer. Interesting that he was there. I didn't see much in the way of interviews, but they were talking about what his future
let's
holds.
Face it, Ollie Palmer knows that he may need a club next season, and he's still got to play some Banstead, isn't he?
Yep. So yeah, exactly. He was saying how he commutes up to the from London to Wrexham every day.
Oh, I've just found some photos on socials of Danielle and Luke, the two absolute heroes, and Alfie there as well. Three absolute heroes in there. This is in box post match, but they're the three heroes in the box office that helped everybody out and made sure that we didn't have to pay any match fees or anything.
And I saw a wonderful post up by Ray Armfield of the lad that contributed to the flood, you know, who gave his pocket money and he sort of like he came along to the ground.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so that was fantastic. You know, and there's been so much on here. It's been absolutely, I mean, it's beautiful. So I'm just keep going back over socials, and I know you do too, don't you, Adam?
Yeah.
Because you love social media. It's one of your favourite things.
Favourite thing ever. I mean, I'm so
just
glad.
A little segue here. A little segue, which is that one thing we have got that I would strongly suggest everybody, our listener, and everybody's friend and the friends of our listener, is that Wimbledon Nightingale's testimonial. You know, I've heard whispers that there are going to be quite a lot of extra things happening on the Sunday that should make it even more of an entertaining and excellent game. I've just got my ticket. My daughter, who obviously couldn't make it, but she is like proper buzzing. She's really keen on seeing some of the names we've just mentioned. She wants to see Akin Fenwa. She was going, is Akin Fenwa going to be there? Is Barry Fuller going to be there? Is, you know, so on. There were loads of other names and she was going through it and they're all going to be there. I don't think Jack Midson was going to be there. She was a bit upset by that. But like everything else, she was really like buzzing for it. Because obviously she was a mascot with a lot of the players that went on to make the 2016 team. You know, so she's like really forward to it. So I think that 15 quid, you can sit wherever you want. The whole of the West Stand's going to be open. It's going to be a big, buzzy atmosphere. It's likely that the the lounge upstairs will be open, so all the players will gather. All the players from ages ago will gather. A lot of the players who, rumour has it, that aren't on holiday may well be at the ground as well. There's obviously going to be a particular trophy that we paraded around. So this is like our big celebration moment. It should be like, for the all the Wimbledon fans who didn't make Box Park, I think it'd be absolutely brilliant. It'd be a real buzzing, fun game. You know, I don't think any of the players will take it seriously, so it'll be stupid. You'll probably go Akin and Benoit playing in goal for a point, a part of it.
Oh, that I'd love to see. You know, trying to dive to save a penalty.
How long would it take him to get down?
He'd block it anyway. It doesn't matter.
He'd never get back up again.
I think it will be absolutely amazing. I've got to be there because, you know, the big thing of the day is not necessarily just the testimonial and the hand and, you know, the parade of the trophy, but it's where we will be presenting the famous same old Womble Awards, which is, you know, that's going to be the highlight of the whole thing. So that's what we'll be presenting on the Sunday.
I'm assuming the club already know that and we'll be getting like big moments there where they all kind of present the trophies and all.
I'm expecting one of those fire things to go off while we're presenting.
Yeah, that's right. Well, bring
it. Happening.
Bring a spark.
There's rumour that MyFi may even make a special guest appearance because they wouldn't normally for a testimonial game, but that could well even be happening. So we'll see.
I'm hoping that we get some. I'm hoping that there's going to be some food outlets there. It's going to be great. It's going to be a fantastic day. It's also my daughter's end of year football presentation as well. So, you know, she'll have to tell me what it's like when I get back. But it's
what a good father you are.
He's a great father. I think we had this conversation with Tabs on the way back. She's going, I ain't going. I'm going to Will Nightingale's testimonial.
So, anyhow,
if my cousin can come back from Bali for it, you know.
But yeah, but not for the final itself. There we are, chaps. It's amazing. I hope you've all enjoyed being with us on this journey. It's been absolutely incredible the last few weeks.
Can I do one more shout out?
Wait a second. I'm very excited. Very excited. He's you can't stop him. I'm very excited to know when the next
episode. That is what I was going to say. Episode 3 of the, oh my days. That's going to be so good. It's going to be so good. Whenever that comes out.
So I'm looking forward to that coming out. I'm assuming they're going to take a little bit of time to do some post-production on it. So editing and such like. So that'll probably be out next week if it's out, you know, or a little
Didn't
later.
Someone say that you need drama though and you need heartache to actually get audience figures?
Well, I think the drama and the heartache has been in the last two. This is the finale. Everyone loves that sort of, like, you know.
That episode 3 is going to be absolutely amazing.
Uplifting finale. It's
going to be amazing. For goodness sake. Get it out, John Green. Get it out.
It will be fantastic. So looking forward to that.
Even the behind-the-scenes stuff that's been on socials in the last 24 hours is pretty mad. So the professionally cut stuff will be fantastic.
Yeah, I think with John Green, at the end of it, he needs to go, and if anybody's got a couple of million they just want to throw at a football club, this is the club.
The behind the scenes stuff that Sky pulled together is like,
yeah, that was good.
Best
that was
montage
good, yeah.
Thing. That is a fantastic thing to watch. I mean, on repeat, I'm guessing is how I've been watching it. So it's just beautiful. And the interviews, oh my gosh, the interviews with the wonderful interview with Joe Lewis in the dressing room, that was fantastic. There's
and
a beautiful
the,
little.
Focusing in at the end of the thing on his shorts.
Yeah, and the beautiful, there's a beautiful bit on of Adam Reeves. Oh, Adam Reeves.
Jake Reeves.
I'm living in an alternative 1990s world. Jake Reeves, there's a beautiful minute of Jake Reeves doing a little two-second spiel saying, you know, I told you we'd do it, and it's beautiful. And he always says about, if you don't play for the club, you don't understand it. But this, it just means so much more. He's just the most amazing captain. Wonderful, wonderful player. In actual fact, he should have been up there nominated as well for our player of the season. Mark,
I think with Reeves is what's brilliant with Reeves is obviously the 2016-2025 connection.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's, I mean, I think that guy, he's a special player. I do think he makes a massive difference to us.
Yeah. We've got, talking of special people that make a massive difference, we've got an hour through the pod and we've not even mentioned Craig Cope. And obviously Jackson and the players need to take massive credit, but Craig Cope and Andy Thorne from the recruitment side of things. I saw a photograph of Craig Cope on the pitch with the trophy. I didn't recognise the guy because he had a suit and a shirt and a tie on. And he's just not that kind of guy at all. He's a very down-to-earth Brummy. Anyone who's ever met him, then we'll bear that one out. And I'm so happy for him. And I'm sure he's got some amazing plans together. I'm sure he's already engaged in thinking who we can actually get in. And he's going to work his magic again. He's going to pull a rabbit out of the fire because 9 months ago, no one had ever heard of Riley Highball. We might have heard of Marcus Brown. We had no belief that he'd actually be the caliber of person we get to the club. And even if Marcus Brown walks away, you know, people compared Brown with some bloke who scored a goal against franchise at the end of the season. No chance. No chance whatsoever. I can't see that. I can't remember the guy's name when he went to Port Vale, right? Him. Yeah, whoever he is, you know, he's faded into obscurity. Lee Brown was at the playoff final. Lee Brown was in the Wimbledon end, you know?
Yeah.
Poor lad. But no, Craig Hope's squad, transfer window after transfer window, absolutely superb.
Craig Cope, I think we'd all agree, would be the best signing we've made over the last couple of years. And absolutely fantastic.
And well beyond that as well, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Just it's going to be... Yeah, and I do believe in him. You know, I was at... when I was at the Wish Day a week or so ago, we were chatting and...
you and your mate Craig.
Me and my mate Craig, I'm nervous about people who are leaving. And he says, you know, but it's all right. We'll find others. We'll do it again. We'll find these other people. We'll do it again. And I believe him because I think he's got that nous, that team, that network. I think we'll find those players. We'll find those replacements. You know, we have all these heroes and there are these wonderful people that will always be heroes for us. But, you know, football is, we know it's a short career. People want to try and get as much money as they possibly can in the shortest space of time or move up the leagues. As you know, I get that. I understand that. You know, there's very little loyalty in football and it works both ways.
It does seem that we do treat the players right. I mean, obviously you see with Will Nightingale's testimonial about the players coming back. If the club hadn't treated those players right, they wouldn't want to go anywhere near us.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was Casey McAteer, Neil Cox, Simon Bassey, Neil Ardley. Yeah. These guys are all on social media. You know, they may have left slightly acrimoniously in one or two cases, but, you know, they still remember the club. Casey McAteer is a Premiership player, or was, may well be again, depending on who picks him up now that Leicester have been relegated. But, you know, he still remembers the formative opportunity he had, even in that team under Jackson in his first season that was going backwards fast.
Yep.
Well, I'm so much more confident even before we start recruiting because the backroom setup we have and the mentality we have. I almost felt like when we were in League One last time, we didn't believe that we should be there, even though we'd won it and we deserved to be there on the footballing side of things. We didn't believe we should be there. And that permeated its way through the whole club. Robinson was a lovely guy. Was he in the right place at the right time? Absolutely not, unfortunately. And now we've got a better setup in that particular regard. I mean, like Terry Skiverton, as far as I understand, his family, his partner, his kids are based in the West Country. So he's leaving them behind for the vast majority of every single week and actually making the sacrifice and being JJ's faithful assistant. So that shouldn't be left behind. And Bezo, as we said millions and millions of times, commutes down from like Bedfordshire way, like 6 a.m. every morning. And time after time has produced rabbits out of hats. Even if we don't keep hold of Goodman, which I think all of us want to in League One.
Yep.
But even if we don't, you can bet your bottom dollar he's already got his eye on someone in, you know, Reading Reserves or Arsenal's Academy or something to pick up for next year.
Well, I mean,
with the players, the goalkeepers that he's produced, you know, the amount of times it's come to the end of the season, we're going, we don't want to lose Kelly Roos. We don't want to lose Aaron Ramsdale.
Yeah.
You know, and these are all a whole series of quality goalkeepers that he's produced. He's turned from being, you know, they've been rough diamonds, for those of you who remember a particular quote from a long time ago, into, you know, really high quality players. Bezos.
I mean, we don't want to lose Bezo. That's the main thing. We don't want to lose Bezo. Flipping heck.
You know, I mean, it is what we've mentioned. You're right. I mean, and I think the fact that we're in League One means that, we're going to hopefully be able to attract, other sides higher up the pyramid who will loan us players. I mean, we use the loan market quite well. We want to have our solid base, but we're going to use the loan market quite well, and I think that's another thing that Craig will be looking to. And I'm assuming that probably at the moment we won't be buying a goalkeeper. We'll be loaning someone in again. It just feels like that's what we do. And if it's Goodman, that would be brilliant because I think it is a step up for him. So that would be interesting. I think that would be the ideal thing for Palace, isn't it? They want to put him up another step. So
equally, we're remember we're a South London club. So actually, for Goodman, it's easier for him to be in that area.
Yeah,
So I think that's another big draw for us is that we're in the catchment of a number of clubs that would probably be interested in loaning players. You look at some of the players we've got from Brentford over the years, probably or Palace or Fulham. I think there's a number of clubs that probably would look at loaning us players that maybe we wouldn't have done before. Though obviously we'd still like to have some of our own, and it's nice to have players amongst that list that are own. It's worrying about the people that are on the out of contract list, obviously. So, we've got to try and sign some of those up pretty quick.
Yeah, but I mean, I think this is football. It's a transient business, and we are able to transform some of those players that people hadn't heard of before into sort of like top stars. So we always say what the budget of our squad is, but in actual fact, if you were putting our squad together now, we wouldn't be able to afford it. If you get what I mean, because we wouldn't be able to afford these players. It's a shame again we're not going to get a fee, but that's just again that's something we got used to. So it is what it is, but it's just for now, lads. It's just so exciting. I was delighted that we were able to run into each other at Wembley and share that because for us as the same old Wombles, we've been going, we've gone through it. We'll do an end of season review. We'll probably do a few more. I know Adam wants to give it a rest, but it's probably not going to happen. We've got so many people who want to come on. So
trying to line up some special guests that maybe will be exclusives, So
yeah, exactly. So
we can have a couple of. I think we should have a double up. I've got an idea. A couple of interesting double ups that would be quite good to have on.
There you are. So
I've got somebody promised to message me on socials who I'm not going to mention on air because that will jinx it.
But there you are, Adam. You see,
what can I do,
mate? You're going to be spending the summer busy editing, pressing those buttons. Until next week, we will have another look back over the season. We'll talk about our awards as well, the Nightingale testimonial. Please do get along to that. It's on Sunday, 2:00. Tickets on sale through the club website. It's been amazing. And I think the only thing left to say is that we are going up. I said, we are going up. We are going up. I said, we are going up.
We are going up.
Guns are going up.
Guns are going up. Guns are going up.
We're the same old Wombles. We're up.
It's time to believe.